Lesson 12, The Prince of Israel. This lesson begins on page 77 of your book. This audio text version does not contain the reading of any listed footnotes. The complexity of this topic makes simplifying it from out of scripture difficult. The diligent student must apply themselves to the study of the verses to arrive at the biblical answer to the question of, who is the Antichrist? I have spent the better part of a decade working out the details found within the volumes I have written. If you truly want to know God, please understand, he's not some kind of simpleton. He is the Almighty God, worthy of all praise and worship. While God himself did indeed pen the words of Scripture for human consumption, he did not write it in a single-dimensional format. Please keep this in the forefront of your mind, as we labor towards our goal of knowing the identity of the Antichrist. The Bible proves the Antichrist will be a Jew. In the same way as Jesus, the man we will come to know, is also Jewish by birth. A Jew is defined as a person belonging to a continuation of the Hebrew people, through parental descent, of the ancient Jewish people. Both of his parents are of Hebrew descent, just as Jesus' earthly parents were. And, like with the Messiah, the Antichrist's reach of power and sphere of influence will not be confined solely to the Jewish people. His sphere of influence will extend to the entire world. The message of the gospel was not limited to just the Jews. It became a message of the Gentiles. In fact, it was the Gentiles who spread its influence over the entire world. It will be the same with the Antichrist. I would like to make it crystal clear, no Bible verse makes any direct statement saying, the Antichrist will be a Jew. So, that's not what I'm saying either. But, what the Bible does accomplish, is to give students of the Word a number of clues, which are more than sufficient to arrive at that conclusion. In fact, after studying this chapter, you'll see that his Hebrew ancestry is obvious. As you study the material, just realize that a lot of information the Bible gives us about Christ also applies to the person we know as the Antichrist. This principle reflects the duality of prophecy. Every prophecy has at least two components. We continue our study in Ezekiel. Here, the prophet was detailing the end of the reign of the Antichrist. The following verse has been broken down into its main four thoughts. Listen to each in Ezekiel, chapter 21, verse 25. Thought 1, and you, O slain, wicked one, thought 2, the prince of Israel, thought 3, whose day has come, thought 4, in the time of the punishment of the end. Going back to thought 4. This marker identifies the timing and scope of this passage. The King James Version reads, when iniquity shall have an end. This matches the phrase in Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24, to finish the punishment, making an end to iniquity. The two prophets are discussing the same point in time. They are both describing the end of the Antichrist's reign. Thought 1 details that the Antichrist has been slain. The definition of which means, to kill violently. Prophecy tells us, the Antichrist will fake his assassination from a ceremonial sword attack in the temple, and appear to be resurrected near the midpoint of his reign. Again, this fake resurrection imitates Christ. But, we know it's not discussing Jesus, because this person is described as wicked. Remember thought 2? This person is designated as the Prince of Israel. Once the context of the verse is understood, there can be no room for doubt as to his identity. Imagine for a moment, you are a Jew living in Israel. A man comes and negotiates a peace treaty between the Arabs and the Jews. Remember, this has been unsuccessfully attempted many times over the past 90 years. But this guy makes it happen. And not only that, but he permits the Jews to begin worship in their temple. Then, he enters Jerusalem, just as the Messiah is supposed to, and makes the claim that he is God. Next, he appears to get assassinated by the religious elite, and instead of staying dead, he is raised again to life. Would there not be a multitude of Jews now believing him to be the long-awaited Messiah? I certainly believe this to be true. We have another hint given to us by Jesus himself. The Apostle John tells us, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. When Jesus came under the auspices of being from God the Father, the Jews rejected him. But, if someone else comes under the patronage of their own philosophy, this they are going to accept. The Jews know full well the Messiah is of Jewish descent. They will only accept a Jew. This mentioned, Prince of Israel, will indeed be of Abrahamic stock. The Antichrist will indeed be of Jewish descent. His lineage will be enough to convince Israel that while not from Israel, he is fully Hebrew. Ezekiel continues to describe the removal of this counterfeit king. Thus says the Lord God, remove the turban of the high priest, and take off the crown, for the old order will no longer be the same. The high priest of Israel was the chief priest, of those who administered within the temple. This person was only allowed to marry a virgin, who had not before been married. The Antichrist has indeed married a woman who's never been wedded before. In this verse, Ezekiel is saying that his position as both high priest and prince of Israel will be terminated. The Bible is saying the reign of the Antichrist will be ceased, for the old order will be changed. Ezekiel explains that the low will be exalted, and the high will be abased. Exalt that which is low, and abase that which is high. The word abase means to lower in rank, office, prestige, and esteem. This describes perfectly what God has in store for the Antichrist. When Jesus arrived his first time, he came as a suffering servant. The Jews rejected him, due to their flawed expectation for a conquering king, to come and save them from Roman oppression. The Antichrist will arrive as a conquering king, and be embraced by Israel as Messiah. But, as explained within the verse, God will switch things around. Jesus will be elevated and exalted, and the Antichrist will be demoted down to the lowest of the low. Jesus is coming back the second time, as King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. At that time, the remnant of those surviving in Israel will embrace him as the one true Messiah. Ezekiel goes on to describe the destruction of the Antichrist's kingdom. Destruction. Destruction. I will surely destroy the kingdom. And it will not be restored until the one appears who has the right to judge it. Then I will hand it over to him. This kingdom is the worldwide rule of the Antichrist during the last half of the tribulation. His reign will come to a violent, destructive end, at the Battle of Armageddon. Notice the root of the word, destruction, is used three times at the start of the verse. Satan and his armies will be utterly destroyed, and he will never again rule on earth. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and the Antichrist will be permanently cast into the lake of fire. When the millennial kingdom of Christ is established, God will award the crown, ruler of the world, over to Jesus. He's the only person who has a legitimate right to sit in judgment of the world. While a topic for another book, the millennial reign of Christ does not begin at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. Scripture indicates it will begin within 2 years following this epic battle. This allows time for God to restore the earth and train followers of Christ as his ministers of his new government. Jesus will then have the world government upon his shoulders. Lesson 12, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, Explain why the Antichrist must be of Jewish descent. Question 2, In Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 25, he used the word, wicked. Offer two reasons as to why this was done. Question 3, The reign of the Antichrist will come to an end. At what point during the tribulation will this happen? Question 4, Why does Jesus have the right to judge the nations? What does this mean? Question 5, Why will the Antichrist become chief of the temple priests? When you're ready, you can proceed on to lesson 13, An Arrogant Leader. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the chapter 3 lessons. Then move on to lesson 13, An Arrogant Leader. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box, to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive, to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Lesson 13, labeled 3.13, An Arrogant Leader, to hear the next lesson.